Okay, so I will stop and let me know if you lost my audio, my video, or if you want me to stop at this point. So what I will try to do now is to kind of brief presentation of Mainly Evo, which is our next tool that we developed since a few years now, which basically taking everything, all the best what has been done on VRBS and trying to incorporate or to integrate everything which has been requested or by the users following several years. So first of all, a kind of a very quick status on the VRBS, what it is now. And then I will move to Evo to try to give you a little bit more insight of what it is. You know already VRBS, but give you kind of pictures, the kind of worldwide collaborative services, more or less covering all the different countries and continents, and this is what is used to be for the production. A little bit of numbers. You see the different growth following the statistics from the different countries. Obviously, the main one is U.S., but we have around a little bit more, in fact, now 35,000 users from all these countries. And one interesting piece is here, and you see the growth of the VRBS booking evolution, and it's more or less exponential. You see some kind of seasonal effect, which is mainly driven by summertime, so Christmas time. But you see the growth which are there, which really much highlight the need for the research communities in general about this type of collaboration tool, where you see the growth, and you can easily predict what will happen in the next few years too. As you know, VRBS is not used only for full real-time collaboration. It's used as well for workshop, conference, lectures, and a little bit what we are doing as well today at some point, even if we are not using VRBS, but Evo. A little bit of snapshot, and you know as well this thing, but one of the key points on VRBS, not only, but one of the key points is the multi-OS support. So this was on Windows, Linux at some point, and macOS. And this is one of the main requirements that is from our communities, mainly driven by the physics communities, which they want to be able to use their desktop and the dependency of their OS to be able to collaborate with their colleagues. What's next? So, in fact, what we're working now since quite a while is that it's more or less, what we found, it's more or less impossible to deploy a reliable or robust real-time infrastructure for these very large-scale collaborations. And the main reason is because, I mean, we all know we have different devices, different domains, different networks, and all of that are changing all in real time. So you have switches, you have network, you have routers, you have firewalls, you have even your local machines that have some local behavior that is unpredictable. So knowing all these statements, one can think, how can you assure that a collaborative session can be successful at some point? So the next question is, obviously, is there any solution that can do this very complicated problem? So the way we develop Evo is, in fact, on the infrastructure level by creating what we call a living real-time collaboration infrastructures, which are capable to react, adapt to the change of the environment in real time, and so transparency from the end users. So everything which is changed, infrastructure should be adequately changing. Let's see. Then, is the collaboration tool very predictable? What we have found is that, in fact, the way we start to develop Evo, if you try to decompose the collaboration structures in different pieces, you have the end user, the end system, that could be a PC or a device like such as the H323 device or anything else. You have the core of the network, could be multicast cloud, could be an MCU, could be anything that will be linking all the pieces together. And yeah, the network itself, the layers, and all these three components, in fact, you don't control it. It's not something that, let's say, collaborative service can control it. And this is what makes even the predictability of the session very, very difficult. So the way we start to develop Evo is to start with this axiom, which is, let's try to monitor all the three different layers, starting from the end user's device, the core networks, and even the communication, the layers between the users and the networks. And so we start to develop some tools that are capable of monitoring this pieces. And then as soon as you get all this information, then you start to get a very global view of all the components that compose the collaboration services. And having this global view, you are able to react and adapt in real time about the environment. Now, one piece which is very important here is that as soon as you have this global view of the end user, the core, and the link, it's something which is very critical is the scalability, because as we know, it's pretty easy today to develop a software or even to buy a hardware and to have few hosts, few 10 eventually up to, let's say, 50 hosts or 50 devices connected to this central point and have these collaboration sessions. But it starts to be very, very a challenge when you want to increase this scope to a large collaborations, a large community. And we, if you all probably see all this graph, which somehow make you reminding the start when we started the internet a long time ago, was that it's easy to have two hosts communicate each other. It starts to be a challenge to have several hosts to be able to communicate. And here this is somehow highlight where all the reliability, the security, the manageability, and usability as well go down to near zero as soon as you increase the number of users. And Pirosa was with me at the Terena workshop conference last month, and there was a very, very interesting talk from Michael Nathan from IBM that, in fact, on this talk, which I grabbed, there was a very interesting key point, which is what you was mentioning about the internet and the evolution. There is nothing more dangerous than and not more than apply to a new medium. And I find this kind of rules very, very well adapted to our environment, which is it's time, and this is what we believe since for a while, it's time to change the way we think about collaboration, the way we think about implementation of the collaboration, and not try to take the old model that was applied to the telephony as we used to have for more than 20 years now. So how Evo is structured in some form. So you can divide different architecture in three models. The first model, obviously, is the satellite architecture, and you all know what it means. You have one host, one device, and the H323 architecture is certainly one of them. Well, you have different nodes from the end users. Could be devices that connect directly to this centralized point. It works pretty well. It's pretty predictable. Obviously, as I said, you don't control the link to reach this point, and if this device or for the H323 environment, MCU go down, then obviously everybody is disconnected, and you just have to cross your finger that the connection go back again. On the opposite side, you have what we so-call the peer-to-peer architecture, and one is very famous, as you know, which is Skype, where all the end nodes are able to communicate each other without any distinction. And at this level, you have a full scalability. But the problem here is that you don't control anything. Every user speaks with every user. So you have completely the opposite of the problem. So what we try to develop here is a kind of middle ground where we develop some node that we call Panda, and of course Name, which are purely in peer-to-peer protocol using a lot of engineering and grid development, which are connecting each other all the time in real time and monitor each other. And from the top, you have the end client that can connect in point-to-point any of these nodes in a real time. So you have a kind of peer-to-peer server models, and the end users connect to each of them depending on the qualities of the location. And what you can see here is that if any of these servers go down, obviously they will reconnect each other to find the best thing. As well, if the end user has a connectivity to any of this one, he would connect to automatically to another one. So this piece of software that we have developed, as I said, is called the Panda Node, some intelligent software that are able to create this overlay network. And in fact, they're purely Java-based. They can register the high-level directory services. They can know exactly what's happened, which components are able to run on the machine. There's automatic code and secure updates, so it's very, very easy to manage. There is a continuous monitoring of the networks. So each node knows exactly what's going on their peers and the quality between themselves. As I said, if one node goes down, there will be an automatic rerouting to improve the performance. Everything is encrypted. There is alarm notifications. So as soon as something goes beyond a certain threshold, then an alarm starts to show up. It can dynamically adjust what type of services the users are capable of doing it. And you can get as well some kind of tracking and historical data for CDR. A little bit of description about how it works. So when you install a new node, basically what he's doing is announce himself to the high-level directory services that, in fact, all the other members of this topology are notified. So everybody is aware of everyone. And this is how this overlay network is creating dynamically. In the meantime, he will send all this monitoring information, CPU memories, packet loss, communications between all the peers, to a monitoring services which run over the networks. And via a graphical user interface, you are capable of monitor this overlay network and create a few administrative capabilities. Obviously, if one goes down, then there is an automatic routing of the component. On the client side, we developed the equivalent software that we call Koala, which somehow would help the user to be integrate this overlay network. And so this is a Java-based client, which has the big advantages to be multi-platform when all the setup and web. So he's doing more or less the same thing. He's automatically detecting the environment from the user, detecting all the different OS parameters, CPU memories, RAC components, what type of capability these users can have, and even the network environment. So it can adjust dynamically depending on where the user is connected. And for that, he would request what type of services he would be able to afford. If he starts to see that he has a lot of packet loss or the connection is so bad, he may decide to not get any video automatically on behalf of the user, as an example. In the meantime, he's doing some constant monitoring of the traffic, which means that if for some reason the quality that he's getting from one of the nodes starts to be very bad, he can automatically reconnect to the best other node that is associated to it. There is some alarm notification. So here is a kind of list of kind of functionalities that know it on the end client, because as I discussed up to now, we speak about the core networks, the infrastructures, but as well, because it becomes the end client, we have to provide some functionalities that are useful for collaborations. So there is a full booking environment, so you can schedule a meeting, you can start a ad hoc meeting on the fly, you can invite buddies that you can see on the list on the kind of private meetings, you can have a permanent meeting, you can be on the meetings and invite someone else to join your meeting automatically. You have a full capabilities of so-called instant messaging, presence information, You can have a groups chat or private chat. Everything is tunneled in one port, and starting with the UDP port, so all the communication that could be the video, the audio, the IM traffic, the chat traffic, the booking traffic, the logging traffic, all the traffic from your end clients to the node are done and are tunneled in one port. Everything is encrypted. You can encrypt video and audio and IM chat, and so it depends on what the users want to have. You can have a meeting moderator. So when you book a meeting, you become automatically the moderator. So you can mute and mute the participants, video, audio. You can kick out participants. You can add a new participant as a moderator, which was one of the features, for example, that was pretty high demand from our communities, where, as we may have even experimented today, you have a user that arrived, and eventually he's sending some background noise, and nobody knows how to stop him. If you are a moderator, you just mute his module and everything is fine. You can share file. We have a shared environment where you can upload the node file automatically, or you can send file between participants. Something very important here is the plugin concept, because up to now, I didn't really mention what type of video, audio, or other capabilities we are running on the top of it. So the way it has been designed now is to have this plugin concept where when you create this infrastructure from the end users, the Acorda to the core network, where you have a full environment, then you can develop some plugins that will help you to send different type of media on the top of this infrastructure. And these plugins can be on many areas. One of them, obviously, is the so-called video conferencing. When you can have different type of clients. Obviously, one of them that we are using now is called Yebo, which is a default one, advanced one for Yebo. But you have a plugin that has been developed that it is for H23. So you can connect to an MCU or connect your own H23 device. We will develop, in fact, it's under development, the SIP plugins where you can connect a SIP client. And anything that may appear on the market that makes sense to develop a plugin will be developed. So it's just an addition to the top of the infrastructures of these architectures to be able to support any type of clients. But it's not only video and audio clients. It can be as well other type of plugins. One of them is the authentication. Obviously, now we have on database where the users, when they connect to Yebo, they authenticate themselves to Yebo. But we may think, and this is developed for that, that we develop particular plugins that, in fact, instead of authenticate yourself in our database, you go to you directly to your database, to your systems, and to be sure that you are the good users to be connected to the system. In the same philosophy, we develop, in fact, the next release that probably would be done in the next 10 days or 2 weeks. We incorporate a calendar, so very advanced calendar when you do your booking, and this is our Yebo calendaring plugin that will be very, very powerful. But in the meantime, you may want to use your own calendaring system that you have developed since many, many years. So we just have to develop a plugin where it will be incorporated, where you would communicate with your calendaring, and you can use your own calendaring as well. So it's pretty open in a way it's developed. It's multi-language, IPv6 compliant, so preparing the features. A little bit of a word about what happens when you connect Quadra. So basically here, as soon as you start your end client on your machine, it would connect to the jQuery services, and you would ask, give me the best 3 nodes that are available for me following my locations, my network status, and so on. So it will get 3 nodes to as a list, and it will monitor these 3 nodes automatically, and it will select the best one. It's okay, this one is the best following all my criteria, and it will connect to it. In the meantime, the same way is done by the core infrastructure, it will publish all the information, again, that could be CPU, memory, latency, packet loss, to a local monitoring services, which means that you can have a global view not only of the core network, but up to the end users. You have a full, what we call, end-to-end real-time collaboration set managed infrastructures. So you are not only aware of what's going on the core, but you are even aware of what happened up to the end user machines. And from this global view, you can have a, you can take actions, action that can be at the beginning just information, because there's an alarm. I mean, you can easily imagine if something is going wrong on your machine because, I don't know, you have a CPU limit somewhere, the user at least is informed. So, okay, you have a pop-up window. I detect that the CPU is going over 90%. So we have eventually an issue, so don't be surprised if you get a very bad audio. This is the kind of first type of information. The second level is to take action on behalf of the user. Okay, I detect that you have 90% of CPU. Maybe you have too many video open, so I would decrease the number of video open on your desktop, so your CPU would be less loaded. So you have a lot of, let's say, potentiality. As I was mentioning, everything is tunneled on one port. Even if you don't open the UDP port, it can initiate the TCP connections, and it will be tunneled over the TCP connection. Everything is encrypted between Koala and Panda or within the infrastructure. This is a kind of snapshot about how the graphical user interface looks like now. You have a booking environment, you have a full body list here, so you have a lot of different communities that we can add, that you can subscribe and have your own groups of working groups. You have a full presence information, chat, time zone, you can click any meetings, multi-language support, and I think most of you already have seen that. In parallel of that, as you may know, we have a team in Slovakia which is working mainly on the video and audio pieces of Evo. And what we're using now is one of their developments, for example, which is a full desktop sharing. You can see the difference between a pure, let's say, CIF format that is basically used by most of, if not all, the video conferencing environments, at least the one which are not advanced. Now we can easily send a full VGA video using a small basic camera, USB camera, and a very high quality, up to the desktop XGA resolution. And in fact, we can even do much more than that. We just limit ourselves on this resolution. But so we have a lot of potential abilities, and obviously this is very useful for presentations, demonstrations. A lot of work certainly still on development, and I probably not speak too much about that now, but I believe you will be happily surprised as soon as that will be released. We already run some alpha version of it. One of them, one of the key developments is incorporating OpenGL on the display. So as soon as you are managing to do that, you can do a lot of wonderful things on the way the video are presented to the end users, including text, and have a lot of different effects and scenarios. The results that we have gone so far are certainly very impressive, not yet ready for, let's say, public release, but you just have to stay tuned, and sooner you will get some very, very exciting information about that. What are the plans? So it has been pre-released in mid of April. Everyone on the pre-release can use and especially test it and give feedback, because it's the time for us to incorporate all the feedback. We have been discussing with a lot of national research network to deploy Evo and Effective Panda on all the network, and a lot of discussions and deployment already start. The key point, and a lot of people are asking us the same question since years now, is that, as you know, our main funding or only funding are coming from the Department of Energy for the high energy nuclear physics community. And all the research and academic environment obviously wants to use it. So we have to think about what would be the best cost recovery model to be able to put this technology widely available, at least to the research and academic community, while in the same time not overwhelmed by all this additional work and support. So we are trying to think about what we can call a business model to sustain our works. One of them is, and certainly we have get some feedback, but will be to provide the EVO services, which will be widely available to all the research and academic communities at no cost. So everyone from the research and academic should be able to use it. Now, saying that, it's not a group of few people that can support the entire worldwide communities. So we are thinking of the kind of subscription model where if you would like to get some support, there may be a cost per user or per institute or something that at least will be able to us to recover our times and help us on the development to do more things. So this is a kind of thing that obviously I would like to get some feedback from all the communities at large. So as you know, we have different type of environment, SV2C environment, MCU, Polycom, or boxes, or the desktop environments, kind of fancy environments, pocket PCs, and so on, up to the access grid group-to-group communication. So we see EVO as a kind of very secure, advanced, and self-managed infrastructures where all these devices can be connected and use this kind of powerful environment. Okay, so this is for the end of the slide, and maybe in 1 or 2 minutes, I can just, if you can see my screens, show you a little bit how it looks like. So as you can see here, this is our monitoring environment systems. So you can see the graph here, which is all the Panda node where they are installed, actually, with all the different qualities of the links. This is the logical view with all the Panda node which are there. And you can see the users, every user was connected. And we can monitor any of these links. We can even monitor the end-user machines and have a kind of very global view about all this collaboration. So if I want to see everyone which is actually in our meetings in Riga, so you see, maybe we cannot see very much the color, but you see all the red brackets that involve all the people which are in currently in our meetings. So this is our pure monitoring services, which is very important to monitor any large-scale collaboration software. If any of these nodes, and I don't think I have time to do a demonstration here, but maybe later if you're interested, I can do it. If I switch off any
Philip,
of these nodes,
Philip, sorry.
Yeah.
We have a technical problem. Just a minute. The computer is restarted. Sorry.
Okay.
But maybe we can start the round for questions.
Typical Windows
okay.
problem.
Okay. It's a good idea.
Hold on. I have two questions. What's the difference between a cost-free service and a $100 to $150 support?
Yeah, so the general idea here is using the service, I mean, without having us to manage it, doesn't cost anything, any of our time. This is one thing.
So service is just using the whole infrastructure and support is if we have a problem.
Yeah, it's support, which means, and the idea here is that you can use it, you can organize your conference, you can do whatever you want. But the problem that eventually you may face is that you may want you may want us to monitor the service, or you want to be sure because you are running a very production service, and you can be sure that you get the associate support associated with it. I don't know if I can give you kind of an analogy, but I don't think it's a very good analogy, but just to give you an idea, if you buy a Polycom or Thunderbird device, you can buy the hardware and just cross your finger that you will never break and you would always use all the time and you may work for years and that's great. But if you want to be sure that you have a maintenance contract, that someone can reply to your phone call if you have a problem and so on, you may want to take a maintenance contract because you run the production services. It's the same kind of philosophy. You can use EVO, that's fine, but if you want to assure that someone will be able to your issues or user issues or monitor the systems or was probably thought of real, in real time what's going on now, because you have an important event and something is not working for X or Y reason, then you need a support. And this is what we are not prepared for that. So we need to get additional resources for doing it.
So the typical way to get an insurance with your support sounds like an insurance is you make a contact about the support. If you have a problem, then you will get support. Or can the users wait until they have a problem and then start the support?
So let's say the tool decides.
I'm recommending that you ask for money for the services, but I just wanted to know the difference.
As I said, I mean, this is a model that the objective here, and this is because we should not forget the objective, is to make this technology, to not create a barrier to access the technology. Because, I mean, I am on this field in more than 15 years, and I believe there was a lot of barriers that prevent the user, especially the research and academic communities, to be able to use this type of technology. It could be a technological barrier, it could be a pricing barrier, there was a lot of that. So I just want to break all these concepts and make this available. In the meantime, you want to still to be self-sustained because, as I said, I mean, you cannot be offering business on the worldwide. So, again, this model will be working out, and that's how you get the idea here. And as I said, a lot of feedback from the community will be very helpful because nothing is so clear from the beginning.
Okay, Philip, we are a little bit short with time. Any other question?
But he didn't end his
Okay.
Because we interrupted, sorry. You can continue,
Okay, thank you. Okay. So you want me to continue?
Go ahead if you just want to finish something.
I would just give one minute. So I don't know when you were disconnected. Basically, what I was showing here is the graphical interface built in real time over the EVO infrastructure, where you see all the Panda nodes here and all the users which are connected in real time. So, and you can monitor any of these nodes as well in real time with some alarm. And this is our full administration functions. I was showing as well the health view or where they are installed and all the link between them. Something which I will not do because it will take a bit more time and I don't want to take this time is that if I switch off any of these nodes, and some of you already saw the demonstrations, you will see automatically the tree that will be rebuilt in real time, so which means that the user will have an interruption of 1 or 2 seconds and it was fine. Mm-hmm. You see all the different monitoring pieces here in all the nodes. So it's a full infrastructure that allows the user to get connected. And this is the interface, and you have seen already that. So, for example, what I did here, what you saw was, I think, generating some echo before the talk. So, because I am the moderator, I can mute, unmute, kick, or add him as a moderator. So you have a lot of functionalities on the interface. You can subscribe to any communities or open any communities. The way we did it, in fact, was using the model of the new model where you can have your own bodies and as well your community. And you subscribe to any community that you feel you belong to or project, and it becomes to your communities, and you can have all the presence of, you know, any of that. As I said, multi-language, which is so important for us. I mean, we have a lot of countries where English is not the primary languages. What else? Well, I think I should stop there. I can probably speak a lot about that, but I'm sure you have a lot of long agenda too.
I think so. Okay. Thank you very much, Philip.
Okay, that's one question.
First of all, I'd like to comment on Philip, because it is very similar to our ideas we are in Bosnia, so I'm looking at that to you in Portugal, ISD. And I was quite interested in Mona Lisa, and I wonder if the administrator of the nodes have access as well to this tool, or just the central team has access to Mona Lisa.
Yeah, so I would say that unfortunately you were quite far from the mic, so I'm not sure I got exactly the question that you were there, but I heard about Mona Lisa and
you have shown in that graph that there are nodes, I call nodes, I don't know exactly the term you are using, and that nodes for sure are institutions that have their own administrator. And I wonder if that administrator has the access to Mona Lisa and act as a local administrator of that node, or everything is controlled by the central team.
Yeah, so everything has to be somehow controlled from a high-level directory services. So the way it's done is somehow very similar to what has been done in VRBS. The local node are managed by the local user. We just have to configure some parameters. Mainly give the which directory services he has to be connected on, and even at this time we create a certificate to secure the connections. Not everyone can connect to the particular directory services without being authenticated. But as soon as we have these two parameters set up, then the node itself that runs on the local site, which is somehow managed by the local people on their local machine, when it starts, it's somehow yours. I mean, we don't want to interact very much with it unless it's really necessary. So it just registers to the high-level directory services using some protocol as so-called grid protocol. Yeah. And he announced himself to the rest of the topology, and he's done.
Okay, another question?
I have a short one. About the monitoring of quality between the endpoints and the nodes. Is there anything written up or any documentation how this is done? Because this must be a very, very skillful work, and of course everybody here in the room will be very interested in it. Because it must be or should be usable as well for H3-2C.
Oh yeah, there's two levels here. There is a pure monitoring pieces, which basically is a run on the top of Mona Lisa itself, which on the different functions that Mona Lisa is doing, it's a monitoring activity where you can access, could be some local information from the local machine, anything related to the OS information, but not only from your own application. So if you have an H3-2-3 application, for example, or device, that can be monitored via SNMP, for example, to give me all the information about packet loss, so everything that can be seen as a useful information. Mona Lisa itself, as it's built, will be able to trigger or to ask all this information in a kind of pooling manner, where he will gather this information and be able to build as well or incorporate this H3-2-3 endpoint on the map that I was showing you before as a new node with some information about the qualities and everything that this node will be able to provide as a monitoring information. So using standard way to monitor device and it's just if this device has a way to give back this information, then usually starting with SNMP, but if there is any other standard protocol that he's using, then it should be pretty straightforward to incorporate it.
Okay, thank you very much.